Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 22nd. Joining us this morning, you know him as Hugo. I know him as Dad. Winston knows him as Grandpa.
That dates the guy.
Yeah. Many different ways. Winston, do you have our Why Do We Say That teed up?
Okay. Let's go with, since you guys are the ringleaders of the station, what is the reason the leader of a group of people is called a ringleader?
Well, it's got to go back to circus, and that the ringleader was somebody.
Calls the shots.
Yeah. Either that or it has criminal elements.
The term comes from dancing. Many old dances began with all the participants holding hands in a ring. Then the circle was broken, and one person led the rest of the ring through the figures of the dance.
That's interesting.
So I guess it's like the
Johnny Cash's.
Yeah, Ring of Fire. No, probably not quite the same. So what we're going to do this morning, we've had some people ask about this, is kind of do a historical. It's been 10 and a half years?
Yeah.
Since you and Mom sold to Angie and I.
Yeah.
And I get, good, bad, or indifferent, I think we are, you're number one, I'm number two oldest in the area, in the market. To know, this kind of stuff, so... Before things kind of slipped from my mind, I thought that it'd be fun to kind of do a little historical about the area and some of the changes. So when the company was bought by my grandpa,
yes,
in 57,
correct.
What was that like? I mean, was it seen as a big risk, or he's going to a whole different country? You know, leaving the East Coast.
Well, we didn't talk about East Coast. West Coast. The talk was more of the business of advertising, marketing, radio, and how it interplayed. Because Wendell was, your grandpa was the one with the experience. And his experience was major league. You know, he wasn't... playing in the minors. He was in New York, number one, and number two, he was recognized in the industry as a leader. So we had a great pattern to follow, but the marketplace was so different that, you know, we had to develop our own game plan. And
yeah, I was kind of wondering, because one of the stories I remember Mom talking about was that KSRO in Santa Rosa was available for the same price at the same time.
That's right.
And he chose here rather than there. And you know, the next bump up, whether it's a Redding or a Santa Rosa market, where there would have been some of those resources available if he would have flourished more there than going into the really tiny market like we are.
Well,
and kind of not really having some of those abilities readily available.
But there's a story behind that also, as Wendell was able to use some of the CBS resources to do some research. They found that Northern California was going to grow at a faster pace than initially up against the large market of San Francisco. And they almost preferred, but it wasn't available, Redding, because of I-5.
Sure, yeah, because the interstate had just been relocated, located there rather than along the coastal route.
Yeah, yeah. But there was nothing available there, and there was one available here in Carroll's, who was one of the originators. And, you know, back then...
Carroll Hauser.
Carroll, I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. There were only three radio stations. There wasn't an FM station.
Right, it was still
on the air.
15 years from FM.
No,
really taking hold though.
More than that.
Well, with the cars, you know, it's kind of when AM/FM came into the automobile. It was in mid 70s.
There may have been that combination on the physical set, but there was no programming.
Right.
You know, you turn around and listen to the buzz, but that was the size of it. It was so different. And when I left, you know, 15 and a half years ago, which doesn't sound like a whole bunch, I don't know how many stations during my time entered the marketplace, but things changed so drastically. I don't know half of what you're talking about when you and I talk business, because I don't know what the... I've never broached any of this stuff, you know. How many stations are there?
33, I think, now.
33?
So 10 times, roughly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and it had started to change before you guys, well, when I started in the early 80s, you know, full time. There had started to be, you know, KFMI, which
we put on the air. There were creepers, maybe one,
KXGO
two station.
Was around.
Well, and some of those were formidable opponents.
Yeah, starting to get some traction, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. You know, looking back at it and knowing Lon and some of the other personalities from the networks, from Brescia and CBS on down, you found that these guys really did put their pants on the same way as you and I.
That'd be one on, and you forget the second one. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Hugo. Yeah, you know, Reggie, okay. There are a couple of others, and it's kind of intriguing for me that you're still a one-namer in the market.
Yeah.
Granted, the name is a little bit different than standard. You know, if you were Bob, it probably wouldn't... get that same hold.
no question. There were a lot of reasons for that. Half of the people couldn't pronounce the name. Pabstein, they wanted to say Pabstein. And, you know, who cares?
Right.
What's the difference, you know? You go, one guy would go to a church, the other guy would go to the synagogue.
Right.
Would be, yeah. Basic difference, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me or my family. It didn't matter to the community, certainly. I didn't do any work for the, for the synagogue, and I tried to do some work in the community for the community, like we were heavily involved with the starting of Pop Warner football, and we managed Little League baseball, and as you kids grew, we did Babe Ruth, and you just stayed with the family and stayed with the moves of the community.
Now, back in the early 60s, the pulp mills were being constructed,
mm-hmm.
rather than being a fading memory. There was a synergy that was going on in the area. How did that influence what the station's programming was, what the station's approach was, how business was conducted back then?
It just gave you a feeling like there was a bright light at the end of the tunnel, that things could happen, and positive things could happen. Certainly, the start of the pulp mills was a flat out disaster that no one wanted to recognize, because it smelled awful.
Oh, the sulfur.
It was brutal. But, that came around a little bit. But there was hope that with the advancement of technology and the resource, the water sources, that maybe there could be an additional level from going from a piece of wood to a piece of craft paper that, like an egg carton used to be.
Right.
Now they're plastic. To the next level of paper, finer paper, writing paper, or whatever.
The value-added stuff that we hear about. Yeah.
But there were those that were very, very committed to the no-growth attitude that...
Even in the 60s?
Oh, boy.
Was it no growth, or was it wanting to maintain the same position of influence in the community? Kind of two different things?
It was three different things. The influence thing was one thing, but there was also the natural, can't screw with Mother Nature.
Oh, okay.
We can't improve Mother Nature.
The environmental. Or early signs of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was frightening. And it did come about. Where there was no way that... And the university had a lot to do with it. Had a ton to do with it.
On both sides? I mean, the forestry majors and then the natural resource.
Well, yeah, you had the forestry majors. But they were focused on growing trees and how to log properly and so forth. The other guys, I don't think they wanted to work, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
I think it could go all the way back that far.
So you had two segments within that same environmental community, even in
exactly,
the 60s.
Exactly. One was supported by the government.
Right. I don't recall this having a lot of discussions at home about the political stuff going on locally, but I can remember like the first attempt at a bypass, purple route, green route, that kind of stuff in the early 70s. Was the station involved in that kind of stuff, or were you just peripheral and that was something that the community was dealing with and you didn't take a lead, didn't take a back? It just was something that was discussed.
It was much more peripheral as opposed to in today's marketplace. I mean, you've got this black and white shooting and killing and maiming and all that's going on, not only every weekend any longer, but, damn near every night. There's some major flaw that somebody sees and they've got to make their mark with it. But they really wanted to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want a Santa Rosa. They didn't want it, but, the clock.
Which is interesting, because I've heard that even 10, 15 years ago, blight, Santa Rosa. And I'm looking at Santa Rosa as a vibrant, thriving community that kind of, now the infrastructure may not have been planned, but there's activity associated with it. And here I can remember coming back, by the old mill between Eureka and Arcata, population 28,000 and change.
Right.
Population now 28,000 and change. And granted, Cutton has grown in a couple of other areas, but the sense of stagnation.
Yeah,
rather than growth.
But when you drive on the highway now, and you look
there. Oh, there are more cars out there.
Oh, more cars.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
Looks like Santa Rosa. 30 years ago.
Well, two lanes versus five.
There's a little
difference there.
The crowd was there.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Hugo. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. It's kind of weird, not this dynamic, but weird because somebody had asked last week. So how long have you been doing this thing? 38 years. Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay, blink, blink, and it's over. The business community locally, how has that changed over this period of time? I imagine, okay, we'll throw in a couple more blinks for you. But you know, you don't sense that there's an awful lot of significant businesses that are locally owned. Where
there aren't.
In the past, I mean, you remember that there were. So is that just a myopic reflection, or has there been change in ownership also?
Oh, look, just all you have to do is look around the market place. The shopping centers, quote unquote, the malls, how they've changed. Some of them by design. I know that Ernie Pearson went in with the thought of very little local. He wanted chain stores because of the security that they would afford his investment, as opposed to downtown, you had Arthur Johnson's. They were independent forever. And the three of us, and the Hollanders, and the Ten Window Williams, and all of these guys, they're gone. They're all gone. Retired.
Yeah, it's interesting talking with Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, now she's
sure.
You know, and making those references, or Rex, you know, some of the guys that have been here and grew up here, you know, we know those as landmarks, but you talk to the youngers,
and
no idea.
No idea, not only in this market, but in every market.
Right.
The same thing is occurring, you know, other than this, you know, I think there is a program that I enjoy watching. It's called Pickers on TV, where they, you know, a farmer will have 68 cars in the back lot. Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
What a wreck. You know, I know very few wives that would put up with
yeah.
any of that stuff.
Yeah. Was the business community that during that time closer knit because they were all local, or was it more fragmented because they were all doing battle and everybody had, you know, it was their family fortune at risk?
Much closer knit. There may have been more of a geographical battle, if you will. You
Eureka know, versus Arcata kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, okay. We wanted to be the big dog, and we were, and they loved to knock the big dog off. You
right.
know, I mean, you had a guy like Jim, the hardware store in Fortuna, who did a tremendous, I can't say his last name now, Collie, but Jim did a tremendous job. He would put things that were very timely for outdoors, for gardening, for that sort of activity. He put it on sale for almost, you know, for nothing. I mean, relatively.
Right.
You know, not 10% off. He might put it on for 30% of. I mean, he was a killer.
To pull
to
people.
To bring the traffic into his community. And then, you know, everybody got a shot. Everybody in Fortuna got a real shot at the action.
Well, one of the things I can remember you mentioning was like white sales. And Daly's and Bistrin's.
Sure.
And who the others that were in the Penny's.
Yeah.
That were in the downtown corridor there. And they would just kind of light the whole town up with whatever that was.
Well, there used to be, seasonal events. They call them, once again, fails me. But, you know, you would have one in the spring, one in the summer, one in the fall. And it gave the smaller local merchant an opportunity to ride on the dailies and on some of the bigger Bistrin's, some of the bigger retailers that drew activity to the marketplace, even from Reading. Hell, we were bigger than Reading at the time. we drew activity in from Reading.
And that's a bit of a gut check, I think, for a lot of folks that haven't been around for a while.
Really?
That Reading was coming here.
For good or bad, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are pluses and minuses, always.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, yeah. And KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with my dad, some people's grandpa, and great-grandpa now, too. God, you're getting old.
Jeez. Thank God. A lot better than the alternative.
Yeah. People who worked here, the staff folks, peers or employees, depending on where it was during your time. Who jumps out? Who are the characters?
We had characters, but we were the format allowed us to be a little more serious about marketing and about advertising, and not so much about bim bam, with the flares and candles. We had a kid, Stu Kingsley, who worked for one of the large.
He was Madison Avenue, wasn't he?
He was from Madison Avenue. Yeah.
Like Grandpa was?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And we had Wendell, who was nationally recognized. And we had a couple of other fellows that worked here that had worked in major markets. There was a kid that worked for Cincinnati.
Oh, was that Frank Bull?
No.
Or Dury?
Dury.
Yep.
Dury Johnson. Yeah.
Jones. Yeah.
So we presented a much different picture than, our guys didn't go around when the gold chains were in vogue with gold chains.
That was just Jimmy Gregory. Well, the sales guys.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, George Johnson.
Yeah.
George was a big guy.
George worked in very large markets.
Yeah. Dick Bailey was here for a little bit.
Yes.
Bobby Wells.
Yeah.
Certainly. Rob Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
Jack Mortimer. I mean, there were a bunch. But a lot of those guys are in my mind from the late 70s, 80s.
Well, they were.
And 90s, yeah.
And a lot of those guys were independents. They worked for an entity, maybe another station, radio station, TV station, or even newspaper, and broke away from that to become independent marketing people and would have a stable of maybe 15, 25 clients, and that's who they serviced and worked for. But almost to
In the 60s, yeah. Oh, Frank Bull also. Sure. Want to include Frank. In the 60s, were there personalities, or was it more of a straight presentation style, kind of like, CBS News was, and Arthur Godfrey and guys like that? There wasn't quite the, my sense was there wasn't a lot of the entertainment value. It was more information-based presentation.
That's how talk radio started, much more information-based than entertainment-based, I think.
Because you had the Wolfman Jack on the other side.
Well, yeah.
That was doing the music presentation, but that really isn't what this station was about.
No. The entertainment portion of it was built around music base, and our stations weren't. Our stations were more information-based.
Well, and the sports, too.
Well, there you go. So that's information-based.
Right.
So, we didn't play a lot of rock and roll and so forth.
Not as long as Grandpa was around.
I was going to include his name in the back. But that's proved to be successful because, if you can get 40% of the marketplace listening to you.
Yeah, in a three-station market, you're ahead.
You're way ahead.
Yeah. The sports, you had mentioned Lon in passing earlier, certainly with the 49ers and the connection with KSFO there, the Giants the same way. I can remember the discussions we had at the house about Giants or A's.
Oh, yeah.
And people still ask about that. We got, I guess, only 30 seconds? All right. Well, what we're going to do is on the website, we're going to post this. I think Stefan's been taking pictures. Sorry, folks. We didn't go to the makeup room before this one. So we'll have another segment talking about sports and some of the background and some of the decisions that were made in that area also. Nice to see you, old-timer.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, perhaps this is the start of something new. See everybody tomorrow. I guess this is extra innings. I mean, to keep it in sports or overtime, however you want to play that one. One of the questions, and I still get it periodically, certainly not now as much as what we got earlier, was why the change from the Giants to the A's? And for those who may not have been around at that time, the Giants came to the West Coast in 58. And I don't know if Grandpa was a sports fan or not, but he jumped on it.
Yeah, He was a sports fan through the agency that he worked for. His main account was Winston, which was R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. And they were, I imagine they had a piece of any Major League Baseball team that had a spot where they could run them. But I know Wendell was a big baseball fan and a 49er fan. And the fellow that he was involved with in New York came to San Francisco, and he was a manager at KSFO. And he...
Oh, the money guy? Or his partner early
Yeah.
For the first couple of years?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And they wanted to build a network. And so they did. They built a network of 10 or 12 stations up and down the coast. And, that was a 49er network. And they had Lon. And though I don't know that Lon was the first
footballer. I know he was the sports director at KSFO.
Yes.
When the Giants came.
That's correct.
But the 49ers were in the old, what was it called? AAF? American Football Association? Something before they came into the NFL.
Lots happened there that wasn't as public as, what would happen today.
No ESPN.
So it was different, but there was always the thought that two teams, you needed a huge market, like New York, Chicago, and San Francisco was not a huge market in relation to the other two cities I just named. But Oakland has a lot of pride. And they had a guy named Wally Haas, Levi Strauss.
Yeah.
And
who was also a Berkeley grad.
Well, and a tremendous
school of business is Walter J. Haas,
tremendous mind and just a wonderful man. It gave him an opportunity to kick back to the community.
And that was at the time when Finley was looking to
sell, or, you know, the orange balls and all kinds of funny things.
And DH kind of stuck around.
Well, remember too that KNBR, who was the stud of the Bay Area.
Yeah,
they had the Giants.
That was the NBC.
They had the and they had a huge signal.
And, right. They were perennially number one along with KFRC and KCBS and
KGO.
They
were huge. Yeah. They were really big. But the personnel was horrible to work with. And nobody liked them.
The behind-the-scenes guys.
Yeah.
Not the on-air guys.
Not the on-air, no.
Yeah.
Lon and Bill Thompson.
Or Mike and Dave in the morning. Or was it Mike? Gosh.
Oh, they had announcers that were...
Dr. Don?
Knocking socks off. But I can remember when we got dumped. We had 49ers sold out.
You're talking 49ers now, not Giants.
Well, for instance, we had the 49ers sold out. Well, with a promise from a guy that we had done business with through a number of years, a number of baseball and football seasons, that it's going to work its way through the whole thing, and you'll have the day before the first game, we didn't have anything, and we never had anything that season because they were waiting to put their station on the air in Eureka, so they say. But I know there's more to it than that.
Right, right. Yeah, subsequent to that, a little bit more information. So that was KGO, which is now owned and kind of controlled by the folks that own KNBR. And KSFO is also part of that whole mush that's going on. I can remember having the discussion in the kitchen about, do we go with the A's?
Well, we had
with
the
Haas,
opportunity, yeah.
Because they had Lon
right.
and Bill King. And I know I think I was still going to Humboldt at the time. I said,
probably.
You got two Hall of Fame would-be announcers. We're radio.
Yeah.
Why not? And
obviously it made sense to
me. The marketplace, not quite so much, because similar thing plus 25 years, you know, the first year we had purchased from you and Mom, getting that same call, except it was from Kenny, not from Scotty.
Right.
And you don't have the A's anymore.
There you go.
But the reception in the marketplace when we put them on KEKA was extraordinary. The whole concept, it kind of reinforced with me, it doesn't matter what your politics are. If you follow a team, that's your team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what makes it a little challenging right now with some of the negotiations that are going on. You know, I wonder for the future of sports. Is it going to be down the road? Is it going to be reinvented? Or is this kind of like free agency? And I know that there's an awful lot of positives with that. But all of a sudden... Your team wouldn't be your team next year. You know, they just had the thing recently with McGuire and Sosa. McGuire's not a Cardinal. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
No, La Russa's not a Cardinal manager. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well.
But things change. I mean, so it's just a different era, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to be seeing, you're seeing teams move.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Against their... associations.
The Raiders and the Colts.
There you go.
Both.
They just pull up stakes and moved. And you're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, I wonder.
Brian, how can you pay a center fielder $600 million? How much is Harper making?
Oh, gee. I think it was $300 million.
$300 million?
For 12 years or something
that. We figure that out per, you can do it per inning.
Yeah.
and then knock yourself. It's, I'll tell you what, we'd like to have a couple of years left.
Yeah, yeah. But now that's being driven by the television revenues. And that's, I think...
Not entirely.
Well, you can't cover that at the gate. And your parking lot sales aren't going to, you know, the concessions aren't going to make that one happen. So, yeah, you look at it and it seems, and I know that there's a different perspective. You know, we look at things month to month, day to day, year to year. These guys look at when we sell the team in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, was it the Yankees, I think, are the number one franchise value?
I think so, yeah.
Followed
value,
by the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And it's, it's just...
Gazillion dollars.
Frightening, you know, but you still have your operating costs to get to that point. And I'm not sophisticated enough to know all that stuff, but you look at it and there's such a separation from regular guy. And I think that's probably what it was when you were playing. The guys that went through, they didn't sign those monster contracts. Well, maybe Yastrzemski did towards the end of his career. He had a couple of them. But it was still, you kind of were of the people still.
I think there was more that feeling that you were of the people, because you weren't making that much money. Remember, Babe Ruth was his famous line of... he started making more money than the president of the United States, and he told the reporter, he said, "But I had a better year than he did."
Right. But that's the president, so that would be the equivalent of $300,000 or $400,000 now.
Yeah, but it wasn't the money; it was the idea that I'm top dog.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's interesting how some of this stuff changes. In the plays, particularly with the sports, you know, and it kind of runs counter grain to somebody who's a sports fan not to consider having sports or not having the access to having
sports. I understand what you're saying. But when you look around and look at all the opportunities for you to take the family or your grandchildren to or great-grandchildren to a ballpark, it's going to cost you $1,000 by the time you buy good seats, parking, overnight at a reasonable...
Yeah, for us here.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, the guy that's living in the city, he's paying for it, too. He's paying for the ballpark.
It's still $300-$400 a ball game unless you do something on the cheap.
That's to me, that's a lot of money. There's still a lot of money for what you get.
Me, too. Well, if you guys enjoyed this thing, let us know, and we can do a couple more of these, some of the reminiscing. I would love to be able to spend a little bit of time talking about the businesses specifically.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I've got some
that
of the
would
old
be fine.
Rate cards and some of that stuff, but to talk about some of the landmarks that aren't anymore. You mentioned Arthur Johnson's and Three of Us and even Penny's.
Yeah.
You know, is now fading. Penny's in downtown is faded from a lot of folks. So, all right.
Good deal.
So what's for dinner?
Enjoy it. No idea.
All right.